Our next studio guest is Simon Warrender, who's the founder of the Melbourne Prize of Literature. Welcome, Simon, to the show.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Now tell us, he was very reluctant when we said to him off air that we want your backstory, and he went, oh, I don't think I've got one. You have. So come on, tell us, who are you?
Simon Warren is my name, obviously.
And
I haven't changed that in 56 years. But I was born and bred in Melbourne and schooled in Melbourne. And I come from a family of I'm half English, half Russian.
Oh.
And I really was, my life was geared towards the side of commerce and business. And here I am many decades later, having run a not-for-profit for 14 years. So there has been a change in my story.
So why did it happen?
Well, it's interesting. I was at Monash University Business School, and I graduated. I worked for a stockbroker, and I think everybody reaches a fork in their road sometimes. Mm. Some people reach it at 14. Some people reach it at 90. I reached mine at about 40. And I had an opportunity to do a public project, which was the concept for a children's garden at the Royal Botanic Gardens.
Ah.
And I commissioned the magic pudding sculpture. I don't know if you know.
Oh, wow. Yes, I know it well.
Yeah, and that's become a bit of a landmark. And that was, I went back to university, I studied.
Well, hold on. How did that come about?
Well, no, this is the backstory.
Oh, right,
this
the backstory. Okay, shut up, David.
No, I didn't say shut up. That was a very interesting project. It took 2 years. It took me into the sort of field of the arts, public projects, community investment, those sort of things. And at the time, don't ask me why, but I came up with the idea of the Melbourne Prize. And I actually Googled London Prize, Paris Prize, New York Prize, because I wondered whether or not there were other cities really rewarding their artistic talent with a fairly significant sum of money, and there was nothing. So I trademarked the name the Melbourne Prize in about 2000. And it really came, it was just an idea. And I'd just finished the magic pudding sculpture and the Botanic Gardens project. That was 2 years, 98 to sort of 2000. I was working for an insurance company. And I just, this Melbourne Prize thing, I couldn't get it off my mind. And I talked to people and I sort of started to roll out the idea. And it was really met with, some people said, don't do it, it'll never work. Other people said, you've got to do it.
So when you thought of Melbourne Prize, did literature come with it, or is that something that came out?
Or is it time for Neil to shut up because you're going to tell us?
that's actually a pretty critical question, because I wondered if there was a Melbourne Prize, say in the arts, what it could be. And I thought, I didn't want, if I was going to do this, I didn't want to do one prize.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted it to be Melbourne, I wanted it to be Victorian, and I thought, I don't want to do one prize every year. So I'd just come off a sculpture project that really went very well.
I still want to go back there. Where did the, you know, like, how did that happen, that magic pudding sculpture, which, you know, we all know, how did that come about?
There's two simple answers to that.
Yep.
Again, I was involved, asked to join a sort of a mentoring group by an organisation called Committee for Melbourne, and you had to come up with the idea of a city project that you wanted to develop the idea and implement it, actually fund it and make it happen.
Okay.
So that was really how I came up with the idea of the children's garden. And I'm half English, and the inspiration for that was, I don't know if your listeners might know, the Peter Band sculpture in Hyde Park.
Yep.
It's a little bronze sculpture of a literary icon that's become a place of pilgrimage for parents and children and visitors. And I thought, we just need that for Melbourne. And that happened. I got great financial support through the Committee for Melbourne and the City of Melbourne and the National Gallery. We launched it. And just at the end of that project, I the Melbourne Prize just came to me, and I pursued that.
Right. And good on you. You know, like, it's because that's what makes this city so great. Are you aware of the Wonderment Walks?
Yeah, I know the Wonderment Walk. I know the organisers and very well. I know what their aspirations are, and it's a great project for the city. I think what it does is it focuses, all of these projects focus on Melbourne's public art.
Yep.
And for, you know, in recent decades, there's been decades where it's been very popular and very much promoted, but there's been decades where there's been nothing.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what decade we're in at the moment, but I hope that it's a decade, you know, looking ahead, I hope good public art is really promoted. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And the wonderful John Olsen frog.
That was actually commissioned by the man that came up with the idea of the Wonderment Walk.
Yeah, we interviewed him on the show about it.
Oh, did you?
Years ago when it was being unveiled. Yeah. So it's great. All right, so back to your prize.
Well, Neil, you asked me about
literature.
Yeah, yep. Well, look, I thought I don't want to do one prize every year because it's a small market. Mm. And I thought, how can I make this different? So one Saturday morning I opened The Age and I saw books. And then I saw a music section, and I wanted to do something on sculpture. So I thought, do a prize that rotates between sculpture, music, and literature. That's what I decided on. And the other the reason for me doing it was I like giving opportunities to people. And if you look at the average earnings of sculptors, writers, and musicians in Victoria, they need opportunity.
Well, absolutely, because it's so hard to get that government funding money.
Yep. Here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine, we're talking to Simon Warrender, who is the founder of the Melbourne Prize, and we were talking about how the prize came about and the choice of literature. But now, Simon, you were saying it wasn't just a choice of literature. You had three things was literature, music, and sculpture. Is that right?
That's right.
And so has it been alternating, or are you planning on alternating, or how long have you been doing this, basically?
When we started, the prize has been going now for 14 years.
Okay.
And it runs in a three-year cycle. So we do the Melbourne Prize for Urban Sculpture. Urban being the operative word.
Yeah.
Literature, Melbourne Prize for Literature, Melbourne Prize for Music. Then it starts again, Urban Sculpture, Literature, Music.
So where did you get the money for the first time around? Yeah, you know, how did it all come about? Because, you know, like, it's big money we're talking here.
David, that's a very interesting question, because two answers to that. When I came up with the idea of the Melbourne Prize, having launched the Botanic Gardens and implemented and really delivered the Botanic Gardens project, I had not a bean to start the Melbourne Prize with. All I had was an idea. So what we did, given that the Magic Pudding story has never been out of print since 1918,
gosh,
and the copyright is owned by Norman Lindsay's family, we had to get copyright approval to do the Botanic Gardens project. But then there was the idea to do miniatures of this botanic garden sculpture that had become an overnight landmark, which we did.
What do you mean, miniatures?
Well, the big sculpture is 750 kilos of bronze,
right,
and four characters of about sort of 4 or 5 feet each.
Yep.
These ones are 20 centimetres by 20 centimetres by 20 centimetres, but they're beautifully done by the same sculptor. And we were lucky enough to get copyright approval to do 75. So we're still selling them actually, but we've sold about 60.
Yep.
And they're nicely priced, and they're works of art, fine art, and that gave me the money to start the Melbourne Prize.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And how, if people want to buy it, do they just go, is there a website you can buy on?
You can go to our website, which is melbourneprize.org, but actually what we're doing, there's the last 15, and we're selling those exclusively through Readings.
Ah, okay.
So Readings is the place to go, Readings website.
Oh.
They're exclusively through Readings. They're silver-plated, and they're to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Magic Pudding, which has never been out of print since 1918.
Yeah.
2018, that's 100 years.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. So you go in three-year cycles. What was the last one? Before
Urban Sculpture.
Right, and what was it? What was the piece you did?
Well, we
Well, it's a prize, isn't
it? We invite artists to subscribe to the prize. Yep. They put in their entry. They can put in a finished work. They can put in a propositional work.
Okay.
To sort of what this prize does is it really means Melbourne is offering one of the most valuable sculpture, literature and music prizes in the country. But to answer your question, last year we want to show people what sculpture can be. Most people think of sculpture as a piece of bronze on a plinth. That's actually not what sculpture is. That's one part, one genre. But sculpture can be, I mean, the winner last year was a projection work by a very esteemed artist called Daniel von Sturmer. He actually represented Australia at the Venice Biennale, and it was a projection work. But the judges deemed that it was sculpture and it was fine, and it won. He won.
And is it, can we see it?
Can see his work, but no, that was probably what the work would still be an academic work, but effectively it was ephemeral. So it was part of a 2-week exhibition.
Right. Okay. And where was that exhibition?
Federation Square. We exhibit our literature finalists, music finalists and urban sculpture finalists at Fed Square.
Right. Okay. I obviously must have missed. But that was 3 years ago, not last year, wasn't it?
That was last year.
Oh, you do it yearly.
Yeah.
Right. But three
years. So urban
sculpture
last year, literature this year, music next year, then urban sculpture the following year.
So, this year, you've got to get your entries in by the 9th of July.
July the 9th,
Melbourne, what are you looking for?
Melbourne Prize for Literature. Would you like me to run through what we're offering?
Yeah.
What we are is we are effectively one of the most valuable literature prizes in the country, open to Victorian residents. We work very closely with Melbourne City of Literature. I'm not sure your listeners might be aware that Melbourne is an international city of literature.
Certainly are, yeah.
We offer this year just over $100,000 worth of prizes. We are looking for writers across all genres. They can also be playwrights. They can be screenwriters. They have to be published or produced. The first award is for body of work, which is $60,000, and that's for the Melbourne Prize for Literature.
Gosh.
Then we have the Best Writing Award, which is for a single work, and that's $30,000. We have a new award this year, which is called the Readings Residency Award, which is $5,000 cash, $2,500 airfare voucher and a residency at a wonderful studio called the Norma Redpath Studio in Carlton. And when we announce our finalists on September the 12th, the public can vote for their favourite literary finalist, their favourite author, to win the $4,000 Civic Choice Award.
That's great.
And is there a website they can go on? Is it the Melbourne to find out who the nominations are?
Yeah, entries are open at the moment. So we have our entry form at melbourneprize.org, and entries close July the 9th. Mm-hmm. Finalists announced September the 12th. And September the 12th, probably when the public can jump on the site and cast their vote for the Civic Choice Award. And they win a night stay at the Sofitel. You go into the running for a night stay at the Sofitel
if you vote. And who are some of the judges?
We change our judges each year, but this year we've just got the most wonderful group. We have Andrea Goldsmith, who's a past Melbourne Prize winner, Best Writing Award. Nam Lee, also who's a past winner. Wonderful lady called Marieke Hardy, who's the current CEO of the Melbourne Writers Festival. Some people may remember her from the Tuesday Book Club.
Yep.
And that
wonderful series she did about the letters as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a writer and creative producer, Khalid Walsam, and Michael Williams, who's the director of the Wheeler Centre.
Right.
So we have five judges.
Right. Brilliant. And, do you have to be a Victorian to go in for it, or is it open to anyone around the world or interstate?
We'd love to do that, but we have a very small office. We'd love to have the worldwide prize, but we don't have those sort of resources, David.
I could imagine.
We are sponsored by the state government, the City of Melbourne, and partners, and they're Victorian focused.
Sure.
And we are Victorian owned. You have to be a resident of Victoria.
Yeah, which is nice.
Fair enough,
yeah. Like to support the local people. Yeah.
We think it's a good thing to do.
Right. It's awesome. I think it's what you're doing is just fantastic. And the whole way through, it's just so exciting. And next year it's music, is that right? And what will you be looking for? And it's, you know, like different prizes, like you're doing this year?
Yeah, we'll have the Melbourne Prize for Music, which is for a body of work, same $60,000. Then we have an Outstanding Musicians Award. We have a Composition Award for a composer. We have a fellowship at Melbourne University. And, again, the Civic Choice Award. And right. It'll position Melbourne as offering the most valuable music prize in the country.
Sorry, and is it held about the same time every year? So people can keep an eye out, I suppose, for what's happening that year. So this year, like you say, is literature, next year's music. So just around about this time of the year is the time to
If your listeners keep an eye on our website, and around the time that we always have the awards and the exhibition in the second and third week of November at Federation Square. Okay. And then just after that, we announce the details of the following year.
Mm. And because people need to, you know, like work well in advance to get their piece ready on each occasion. You know, Simon, thank you so much for what you have already done for Melbourne, which, you know, we love this. And you know what? None of us are originally from Melbourne. We're all from somewhere else. These two, unfortunately, are from Western Australia, and I'm from Adelaide. Don't hold that against me, listeners.
I think that's worse.
Hey, watch it. But, you know, like, fall in love with the city, and it's our home, and, you know, here we are.
Well, I mean, for me, it's just wonderful to have the opportunity to tell the story of the Melbourne Prize. Yep. And I work out of the offices of the Committee for Melbourne, which is another extraordinary Melbourne institution. And we do the arts very well in Melbourne. And I think as much as the government, state and local, really embrace it, I think there's also public embrace. The public embrace it. Mm. We love going to galleries. We love live music and books. And it's a great thing. It makes for a very healthy community, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And we're blown away by putting the show together with the amount of people that come from interstate and around the world to live here because this is such an important hub for the arts on a world stage.
Well, I think really since the last major depression in Victoria, which was the early 90s, you know, the arts have really driven our recovery. I mean, we are the arts and culture capital of Australia and our economic and community recovery has been driven by that. Of course, there's the other parts of the economy, but that's been very highly prized. Yep. And
so just tell our listeners again what the different, you know, like categories. You said it could be a film script or...
Yep. We are what they call we are cross-genre. If you're a poet, a screenwriter, a playwright, if you write fiction, non-fiction, autobiographies, biographies, all forms of literature, both on the page and on the big screen, you can enter the Melbourne Prize. The only thing we do say is you have to be produced, if you're a playwright, or published.
Yep. Okay. So all you people out there that have done something, and there's been some extraordinary people that we've had on this show that I could see would be great people for this.
You can also nominate.
Ah.
So if you know somebody who's really good and you can nominate them.
Yep.
Okay. Jump on our website, online entry form, really easy.
And right. But you've got to get in quick because it closes on the 9th of July.
July the 9th.
Right. And what's the website again?
melbourneprize.org.
Simon, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you all for having me.
Thank you. You're on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.